The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now it's time for our Friday Forum. I'm joined by Christina Finn, political editor at thejournal.ie, by John Lahar, TD, Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin South West, and Duncan Smith, TD, who's for the Labour Party in Dublin Fingal. Good morning and welcome to one and all. First of all, we've talked about the Olympics a lot. Just get your own reflections on your Olympic Games, Christina.
Yeah, I think we've been doing really well. I think it's five medals if we take in Kelly's, which you probably get anyway. And, you know, London, I think, was our top with six. So, you know, I think five medals in 5 days is pretty impressive.
One a day kind of thing, almost. If we keep this up, how many will we have by the end? We can't get ahead of ourselves. John, are you enjoying it?
I am. Great venue. Great opening ceremony. A little bit of politics between the Brits and ourselves over the medal owners and, you know, where they're from, their origins, that kind of thing. I always enjoy that. I have five constituents. Ellen Walsh this morning, she finished sixth, so she's gone into, she was very fast swimming. She's in the semi-final this evening. Jack Woolley is the first ever Taekwondo Olympian. We have Rashida, obviously. Shane O'Donoghue, hockey player. I know Shane's dad. And Terry Kennedy. So there's a lot of interest locally, lots of flags flying, lots of bunting, that kind of thing, where they're from. So following it with interest.
Duncan?
Oh, it's fantastic. I still think the Olympics is probably the most joyous of all this major sporting occasions. Everyone gets into every sport. And Ireland, I mean, we have the old reliables of boxing and rowing, which always seem to deliver for us. But to have success in the pool and to have a real chance of success on the track, that kind of two big blue ribbon events of week one and week two. It's been brilliant so far, and I'm hoping that it continues. It's
Let's hope so. A lot of hopes riding on the heads and shoulders of our female athletes on the track. We shall see how all of that unfolds. But anyway, the French are doing a great job.
Really
great presentation. The venues are absolutely terrific, and the opening ceremony was so ambitious. And in spite of the rain, they pulled it off very dramatically. Brilliant.
I think I was interested in Instagram for the following days. There was an awful lot of flashbacks to the London Olympics. It was like they were kind of, well, remember us, remember what we did, you know. But and it was an amazing opening ceremony too in London. But there was something particularly spectacular about the Paris is just a spectacular city, and they used it absolutely.
And having Céline Dion, whether you're a fan or not, knowing her health difficulties in the last while, and then the setting. On an elevated position on the
Eiffel Tower.
It was fantastic.
I think the ending with the lighting of the flame, the balloon was, and the Céline Dion actually, I don't want to say rescued it, but it was very ambitious and it divided opinion. Like parts of it I think were a bit too long, to be honest, but I think that ending was so memorable, and the horse going down the Seine, I think they're the two iconic images which will remain with people for a long time. So yeah, massively artistic and ambitious, but Céline Dion I think rescued it there at the end.
Let's move on to more practical matters, and this business of nationwide rail, be it north or south of the border, an ambitious plan. It stresses in the document, this is not government policy either north or south of the border. It's what we'd like to do if we had the 40 billion euro over the next 20 years to achieve it. John?
Yeah, billion and a half a year. I mean, the highlights of it for me, I've travelled the Enterprise, we were talking just beforehand, but from Dublin to Belfast, you can get to Belfast quicker in a car. And as long as you can do that, then trains are not going to be attractive to people. They're always packed. But I'm always really taken aback, having travelled abroad on trains, at how slow even the Enterprise is. So the notion that we'd be ambitious for 200 kilometre an hour trains, the connectivity piece of the three international airports on the island, that's really significant. And then when you look at a map, the BBC, actually BBC Northern Ireland, when they were reporting on it from the northern end of it, they showed a map. If you look at road maps in Ireland, the Midlands and the Northwest, there's always big gaps. So this train connectivity, Letterkenny to Derry, which then kind of connects Letterkenny essentially to a whole load of other cities and towns, the Armagh piece to Mullingar, Wexford, Waterford, the Western Rail Corridor. It's ambitious. I think a billion and a half a year would be required, but I think we really need to go for it, and it's kind of putting it up to every party in terms of their manifestos for the next election.
One of the promises is that they will replace single track lines with twin track and even four track in some cases.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great plan if we can get it over the line. I think it's out to 2050. The 200 kilometre per hour speed trains, I just think, would be a game changer. You know, when you're talking about the housing issue that we have here in Ireland, if you can talk about perhaps people commuting
times.
In and the commuting times from the cities, it could absolutely transform. Now, I don't know, maybe it would make all the houses 500,000. Who knows? Hopefully not. But I just think that, you know, connecting the cities, it would just be so transformative, I think. And like from someone, I'm from Bray, I would always have used the Dart. I travelled into the Dart through the Dart to school every day and then have lived in Navan for 3 years, a couple of years ago. So I can see the total disconnects maybe from some towns like that and the benefits that can come with it. Big campaign in Navan to get that rail line connected. I think it's been committed to. But there are, you know, the railway, I think, in Ireland is great when it works. You know, I had to travel from Dunboyne into the city centre only a while ago and from Castleknock, and it was actually pretty seamless, you know, getting off of Connolly and transferring onto the Maynooth line, you know. But then when you get to that M3 parkway, it just seems to end, and it's just a car park with overgrown planting, and it just feels like they're...
But presumably that is park and ride for the future.
But it's been there for a great many years, and I feel... When I got off there, I was like, where's the bus connections? Where's the cycling hubs? You know, I just feel there is still a bit of work to be doing there.
Now, at the time of the formation of the state, Duncan, we had a massive rail network. And we're talking about not even replicating that, but kind of replicating bits of it.
Bits of it, yeah. Look, I mean, the 19th century was the century of rail and rail development, and Ireland and indeed the UK led in that at the time. And unfortunately, our history of maintaining that is a sad one. So we are where we are. I am excited by this plan. I would love to see an action plan attached to it. And I think that'll be the job. We know we'll have a new government in a couple of months or 6 months at the latest. And I think because we've had rail reviews in 2016, 2011, 2003, we need high capacity transport, public transport. We need a rail network. It would be great if we had the network we had 100 years ago, but we need a network for the next 100 years. And if we had an action plan attached to it and we had the investment attached to it, like, people want it. People are excited by it. People would be happy to see taxpayers' money going to good future
investments. Now, we know that the fledgling state was, you know, a bit strapped for cash. They did manage to do the Shannon scheme and brought electrification to Ireland, but they didn't see they could sustain railways that were not making money. And so a lot of railways were shut down. And latterly, they've been turning them into greenways. Mm. And I'm thinking, hold your horses now. Because they had to kind of redo the Dart when they opened the old Harcourt Street line to Bray. They had to kind of re-engineer a lot of it. Mm. And if they'd only minded what was there.
Yeah, my late mother was from West Kerry, and you had the Tralee to Dingle line. And it, if it was there now, aside from tourism... But tourism would be the main beneficiary. It was a stunning line. I think the NTA, bizarrely, they're not my favourite government semi-state organisation, only got into the park and ride space very recently. And we're really slow at that. And they're an essential part of the... James Lawless, I remember bringing it up before he was appointed minister. And I think it's a key part to all the transport hubs. I remember being up the north recently. They built a new motorway, I think, from Derry to Belfast. And at every intersection, there was a park and ride. And that makes the kind of connectivity thing that you're talking about, whether it's by cycle, by bus, other modes of transport to connect. Under this, if it was to work, apparently, I think one of the figures there is close to 750,000 people, if it came to pass, would be within 5K of a train station. That's a real game changer.
Yeah. No, but going back to the greenways, and, you know, they push them all the time, and they're great for cycling and walking and scooting and doing everything. But these are permanent ways that the railway used to have. They're unobstructed. They should not be ever be built across. So the idea, and I'm thinking about autonomous transportation. You know, we're developing this heavy rail at great expense coming to 2050. If you've got autonomous vehicles and you've got a permanent way that is not intersecting with ordinary traffic on the roads, it's an open opportunity to use new technology to make transport so easy for people.
So you're talking about how you could kind of concrete them in and use rubber wheel vehicles.
Absolutely. You don't have to have, 10 carriage trains. You have one single carriage, which is autonomous, no driver needed, automatic signalling. So we should never abandon those permanent ways to, if you like, the green agenda. Yeah. Because the greater green agenda is transportation, and that might be more important.
Yeah.
I think the greenways have been hugely popular for tourism, and I think there'd be quite an argument made from both sides from the point that you're making in terms of, you know, are we, you know, going to end up having to make changes to greenways later down the line when we have different ideas. So I think that would be a very heated debate, just thinking of like the Waterford Greenway in particular, where that's like a huge tourist attraction for the area. And I know there's other ones in Meath and the rest, but I think perhaps if there was a discussion or debate around that, it would be quite divided.
Yeah, but piggybacking on the work of the Victorians.
But there is also, like, we have a cycle greenway that's going from town all the way up to Balbriggan at the moment, and that's running more or less in line with the Northern Commuter Line, the busiest line, I believe, rail line in the country. Now, I met Irish Rail late last year, and there's huge contention on that line, but they said that there's the space for to take that from two-track to four-track, which is what's needed if you're to have high-frequency.
And will it interfere with the Greenway?
But it won't interfere with the Greenway. So there are opportunities for us to have everything, to have the Greenway, to have that space, and to increase, and indeed to go from double-track to four-track on that line, which is what we'll need to deliver that.
And the Chinese actually have, they've got rid of the rails for, so there are some new trams that they're trialling. They have technology under the road, but they're rubber wheeled. They don't need tracks, and they don't need the above cables because they have the locomotive is battery driven. So I think it's going to be, it's going to be transformative, and maybe they could be dual use in time. Certainly some of them are sophisticated.
There is a system of buses, electric buses, and I've forgotten where it is, but every time they come to a stop, there's a charging point which connects with the vehicle. So as the passengers are getting on, there's a constant topping up of energy, of the charge. So no overhead wires, no tracks.
And I think when people are going on holidays, you know, over the summer months, and, you know, they might be getting trains between countries, you know, you can see how some European countries have got it so right, you know, particularly like in Italy, you know, the two-story carriages, for instance, is, you know, like the capacity there that they can actually have in different European countries is so different compared to us. So I think when people read this rail review, they will hope that, you know, subsequent governments do put their money where their mouth is on it, because we are lagging seriously behind.
We haven't got a great record of bringing in infrastructural projects on time or on budget.
In the noughties, okay? And Fianna Fáil were in government for the bulk of it. And thanks, Pat. But we did, you know, with Terminal 2, the Port Tunnel, all the motorway network, the entire motorway network, the Lewis Green Line, the Lewis Red Line, the extension of Darts. Like, that was all done in a decade. We can do it. What's remarkable, I think, was is that we don't have anything to stand to our name infrastructurally. The Dart Plus has started, which is really positive. But that decade of the noughties shows that we could do it. And we did eventually bring them in on time and below budget in many cases.
Yeah. And I actually made that point when we were having a debate about Metrolink, Pat, in the past. With the motorway network, there was an action plan to go with the motorway plan. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need for this as well, to prove that we can deliver.
And I think that's where manifesto stuff, each party, I think, is really going to be working hard on
this. Well, part of the discussion, of course, about having rail, be it commuter rail or city rail or be it intercity rail, it's because driving a car can be very dangerous. And this weekend, we hope, will not be the same as previous holiday weekends, bringing about casualties on our roads. What's to be done? I mean, we're talking about people reading their phones all the time when they're driving. A number of people who were responsible or involved in accidents were still L drivers without an accompanying experienced driver. We have lack of seatbelt use among certain cohorts of the population. And then there's drugs and drink. What are we to do?
Yeah, I think it's a strange one, because since COVID, there just seems to have been a complete reversal in terms of driver behaviour. The numbers are just seem to be going up and up. And I remember when Shane Ross was Transport Minister, and, you know, he was only too eager to point to the falling numbers that were happening at the time. So there does seem to be a huge body of work there to figure out what exactly is going on. I thought there was really concerning surveys about the mobile phone use. You know, that was a huge issue, I remember, years ago in the United States. It wasn't so much over here, but definitely seems to be something maybe with the technology that people have in their cars. And then that other report that the RSA had about seatbelt use, people not putting on their seatbelt, declining. I just do not understand that at all. But for me, when I was thinking about how government have approached it, it has, you know, it's in a junior ministry at the moment in terms of, I know James Lawless, he's only, you know, started in that position, having taken over from Jack Chambers. Like, is the question there that we need to put it back on Eamon Ryan's desk? You know, is there, do we need to have more of a heavy weight of a minister to drive the sort of transformation that we're talking about? We have seen the Taoiseach has convened, you know, committees and subcommittees.
But we're very slow in things that desperately need regulation.
Like the speed,
e-scooters, for example.
E-scooter regulation.
And it's not fit for purpose at all.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, I think there's a big question there around enforcement on that as well, as well on the speed limits. There's been a speed limit review, I think, for the last nearly coming up to 10 years. And now, actually, the action will be taken in November. So if we are talking about a crisis, I just think there needs to be a lot more urgency shown.
The technology in cars also, you know, you might have Google Maps on a screen. You still have to look away to interface with it. And also, nowadays, in more on more of the cars, if you want to change the ventilation, turn the heat up a bit, you have to go through a screen instead of a knob.
Yeah.
Which you could do intuitively. You could reach for the knob and do it.
Mm.
Now you can't. You've got to go for a screen. Take your eyes off the road to engage with the screen.
I do think, Pat, that part of it is definitely gar the numbers. Okay, when Seamus Brennan brought in the penalty points, they were game-changing. It was revolutionary. Why? Because it was policed. The gar the numbers, they're beginning to stabilise. Up until pre-COVID times, maybe 2014, 2015, you could be guaranteed of a gar the checkpoint or a Gatso van somewhere. We're starting to mobilise more of them, and we need to do more, but we also need to kind of keep boosting the Garda numbers. They're starting to move, and we've taken some measures to ensure we do that. But unless people feel that when they're driving from A to B, that there's the likelihood of a check.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk. I don't